Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Studies about people who sleep with dogs aren't as uncommon as you might think. The subject interests those in the human medical sciences concerned about the impact of sleep quality on human physical and mental health. The study that triggered this podcast was one of two human and animal sleep-related studies that appeared in the December 2018 Anthrozoos. Anthrozoos is the journal of the International Society of Anthrozoology. Those researchers wanted to know how sleeping with dogs might affect the quality of the human-animal bond. The first study was quite small. The sleep patterns of five Australian women who shared their beds with their dogs were monitored for 7 nights. To do this, the researchers used an electronic device called an actinometer. The people wore the devices around their wrists. The dogs' devices were taped to the ventral part of their collars. Human participants also completed a questionnaire, which asked questions about their age, relationship status, did they sleep alone with a spouse or partner or another animal, the size of the bed, and the sleep pattern. Participants also answered questions regarding their dogs, the dog's sex, size, age, breeding, and health. Like other studies, the electronic data from this one supported that dogs did interfere with their owner's sleep. However, what caught my attention was how the owners interpreted their dogs waking them up. 4 out of 5 said their dogs did this because the dogs needed to use an Australian term, go out to toilet. Thus, when their dogs woke them up, these women got up and took their dogs outside, where the dogs did urinate. Naturally, I was intrigued by the one woman who didn't get rousted out of bed to take her dog out to pee. What made her different, I wondered. Was it because she was the oldest participant in the study, or because she had 2 dogs? Or did it have something to do with the fact that she was the only woman in the study who did not perceive her dog as a source of safety and security? The bond plot thickens. The dog wakes up 4 out of the 5 owners who then take their dogs out to pee. Why would these 4 women, who all rate their dogs as healthy adult animals, assume that their dogs needed to pee when the dogs awaken them? What answer springs to your mind? I immediately thought they might do this because they were afraid that the dog would pee in the house if they didn't. If so, they may have decided it was easier to get up and take the dog out than worry about maybe having to clean up pee in the middle of the night. But it's also possible that they created a self-fulfilling prophecy here. In the study, the dog's restlessness awoke the owner. But was the owner more sensitive to the dog's movement because she was afraid the dog would pee? I do know that if you wake up even the most soundly sleeping dogs and take them outside, the majority of them will pee. If for no other reason than they're up anyway, so why not? And not to reveal any intimate information here, but I suspect that many people who are awakened at night would get up and pee for the same reason. However, I also recall a few dogs who didn't need to pee, whose very observant owners realized these dogs were just going through the motions to placate them so they all could go back to bed again. Once they realized that, These folks ignored any bouts of canine restlessness, and their dogs settled down too. But now let's return to those 4 out of 5 owners who slept outside with their dogs when the dog's movement awakened them during the night. Recall that those same people also perceived their dogs as sources of safety and security. In other words, they have more faith in their dogs to protect them than they have in themselves. How this affects the bond between these people and their dogs depends on whether the dog feels comfortable or uncomfortable in this position. If the dog lacks the mental and physical fitness to protect the owner and that person's property, chances are the dog will sleep more lightly than a more fit animal in that same position. They also will sleep more lightly than a dog whose owner doesn't impose such demands on her animal. Putting this all together, the insecure owner subconsciously or consciously creates a link between some real or imaginary potential nighttime threat that she communicates to her dog. Her anxiety, in turn, makes her dog anxious via the phenomena of emotional contagion, which interferes with the dog's sleep. When the dog awakens, she takes the dog outside where the dog inevitably pees to mark the territory. This makes the dog feel more secure, which presumably makes the owner feel more secure too. If so, the now calmer owner goes back to bed and goes to sleep, as does her dog, thereby completing the sequence. Moreover, the sequence becomes reinforced in human and canine minds every time it repeats itself. This occurs because the perceived human threat that the dog learned to also perceive as a threat via emotional contagion has yet to invade their bedroom and bed, which is pretty cool when you think about it. Obviously, the size of this study and its focus strictly on activity patterns offers nothing concrete on this variable that even remotely approaches such a connection. Still, it's intriguing to think about it. Where do cats and human bed partners fit into all this? Another larger study conducted by a different group, but published in that same journal, revealed another aspect of the human-companion-animal bed bond. In this study, having dogs in the bed was associated with less disruption and a greater sense of comfort and security than human partners. Cats, on the other hand, were more like human bed partners. They were perceived as more disruptive sources who provided less comfort and security. What in vet school we used to refer to as SOLs, space-occupying lesions. They weren't malignant presences, but they tended to get in the way. If I thought the first study's results sent me down the rabbit hole, this view of the same human-animal interaction sent me down another hole much faster. The cats were more disruptive and weren't perceived as providers of human comfort and security didn't surprise me in the least. For many cats, the key concern is how much comfort and security the person in the bed can offer the cat, not vice versa. If the person in bed don't measure up, or if there's something better going on, such as a mouse scampering about in the attic or a nocturnal wildlife activity in the yard, they're gone without a backward glance. I can't help admire their strong sense of self and purpose. But what does it say about us first world humans that we trust our dogs more than the person who shares our beds? Are the people who participate in anonymous online surveys about this topic more likely to be in unhappy relationships with their spouses or partners? Do they use their dogs as buffers to avoid meaningful communication with other people? even and maybe especially those closest to them? Beats me. All I know is at that point, the human-animal bond rabbit hole got wider and deeper so fast, I decided to take a break from pondering it and enjoy the rare sunny winter day instead.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.